You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Good morning, Snow FM breakfast. It's Simo and Jordan waking you up 4 minutes past six. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Simo. And I thought we'd kick off with some LinkedIn news about myself.
Oh, yeah. So for those that are unaware, LinkedIn's like a, it's kind of like a professional Facebook. It's Facebook for business people.
Yeah, more or less. And for some strange reason, I've got one. I rarely use it.
Yeah.
And I was just scrolling through it last night because I noticed I had a lot of notifications. So I thought I'd better go take care
right.
of that.
So you had to kind of tick those off.
And part of the notifications were people who wanted to add and connect, they call.
Yeah, that's
it. You can businessly connect with people, which is a bit like becoming someone's friend.
I have heard that LinkedIn is like adult dating, like in regards to instead of being a young thing on the, what is there? There's the Tinder, there's the Bumble, there's the, you told me one that
I
hadn't.
It's not a dating app. It's not a dating. LinkedIn is not a dating. At least I hope it's not because of the person that I have recently professionally connected with.
Oh yeah, you made a connection.
Yes, Simo.
Love connection.
No, 100% not, and you'll understand why. No.
Okay, what?
But this guy, he's an Australian musical icon.
Right.
I don't know why he accepted my friend request on LinkedIn. But he's been very influential in my life, and I'm sure yours, Simo.
Right.
Talking about the original Yellow Wiggle.
Oh, really?
Greg, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Greg, the Yellow Wiggle.
Yeah, can't remember his last name.
Did you go and add all the Wiggles on LinkedIn?
No. I was just stumbling through. You know how it's kind of got people who you should connect with?
Yeah.
And for some reason, he was there, and I thought, you know what? Let's do it.
Oh,
and then
dear.
About an hour later, I got the notification.
Bing.
Greg Page, that's his last name.
Yep.
Greg Page has accepted you on LinkedIn, so... Essentially, I'm now best friends with a Wiggle.
So are you leveraging for a future gig as a Wiggle?
Being Henry the Octopus has always been a career goal of mine.
Right. I was wondering what colour you would be.
No, I just go in the suit. Why? What animal? You look like a Wags the Dog person,
I don't know the characters well enough.
Oh, come on. Surely you
do. No, but I don't think I was massively into the Wiggles at a younger age.
Whoa!
Yeah. I think I was more of a Teletubbies man.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sugar. Harry Styles, Watermelon Sugar, 21 minutes past six for your Tuesday. Simo, Anne and Jordan right here with you.
And Simo, we're starting to get into the Christmas spirit, would you agree?
Yeah.
However, one of the world's biggest companies is not.
Hasn't got the tree out, hasn't put the lights up.
No, they're doing the opposite, actually. They're being Christmas Grinches.
Oh, they cut the power.
No, well, in a way.
What have they done?
Well, Simo, the company I'm talking about is Netflix.
Oh, yeah, they're huge.
And they have decided that now,
yeah.
of all times, is the perfect time to get rid of How the Grinch Stole Christmas off their service.
Interesting.
So that is now, I'm talking the original Jim Carrey one as well, which is the good one. I know there was an animated one made, I think, last year or maybe earlier this year.
Okay.
And it was absolutely rubbish. Honestly,
ooh,
get rid of that. I couldn't give two stuffs.
Right.
I haven't seen it, but I assume it's rubbish.
I assume
it is. Yeah. So, but they have decided that now, December, like, what are we, under a month until Christmas, is the perfect time to get rid of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the original Jim Carrey one. People are furious, and I can understand why, because it's a Christmas classic.
Yeah, I feel like there could be more to the story in regards to it getting pulled from the Netflix servers, because maybe the original makers are like, we can make more money from this at this time of year and this other way.
Perhaps. I mean, that could have happened. I'm not going to deny that. I'm going to blame Netflix,
though. Right.
Yeah, I mean, get rid of it in March. Who is watching How the Grinch Stole Christmas in March? If you're watching it in March, you're a weirdo. Now is when you get into the spirit of watching Christmas movies. And I reckon this is one of, if not the best Christmas movie ever made. Like, I was watching a documentary about it once. Jim Carrey went, 6 hours the makeup took, and he had to do that every day.
Ugh.
I know. Not fun.
Yeah, I mean, makeup, putting that on at all is not a good time. But watching Christmas movies all year round, have you ever done that? Like, have you ever watched a Christmas movie in March?
I mean, I'm sure I must have done it in my life, but it's just so unmemorable, I've forgotten.
Yeah, it's true. There's not too many Christmas movies that stick out for being able to be watched earlier in the year.
Mm.
Die Hard, I think people try to convince me that that is a Christmas movie.
Is that a Christmas movie?
Honestly, I'm not a believer, but some people are because the whole film happens at Christmas time, like within the story.
Oh.
So everyone's like, that makes it a Christmas movie.
Despite the fact it has nothing to do with Christmas, just there's what a calendar in the back of a room that just says December, so therefore it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, that's all it takes for some people.
People are taking to social media, they're unhappy about this, and then there's a few smartasses just posting pictures of how they've got a DVD of How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yes.
So they're like, old-fashioned technology wins out. And to those people, I say, yes, fair enough, but go away.
Do they have something that can play that? Would be the next question.
Yeah, that is a good... Well, everything can play DVDs. Like, I'm pretty sure my iPhone could play a DVD somewhere.
Well, at least that's worked out for them, because it'd be awkward. It's like, yes, I've still got my DVD, but wait, everything I own now doesn't take circular discs.
Now I'm in trouble.
All of us, for now, playing this morning, 24 minutes past 6. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
I mean, I haven't seen Die Hard, so I can't really pass judgment.
Look at her now. Look at her now, Selena Gomez, Simo and Jordan, waking you up for your Tuesday, 20 minutes on the way to 7. In fast food, both you and I are semi-connoisseurs at the art of takeaway foods.
Yeah, we do enjoy consumption of such, as previous stated, takeaway foods.
Now, you never look at your receipts, but in your kind of your burger shops or your local tuck shops and that kind of thing, they'll actually have to identify who has ordered what burger, what chips, what have you.
Well, traditionally, this is done by perhaps asking your name as like in coffee shops.
Or
they could give you a number like to put on the table or one of those buzzer things. I think that's the traditional way of doing it.
Because there are some places that'll just kind of go for a bit of a... I guess they'll just try to identify you face value.
Oh, the person behind the counter thinks, no, that's all right, I'll remember your face. And then you've realised very quickly that you don't.
And what they'll do is they'll have their little screens in front of them. They'll write up maybe a curious detail about you or I or whoever's getting something to eat.
Oh, so kind of to help identify, like he's wearing a red shirt or has a moustache
or is
carrying a small monkey or something like that.
Yeah, well, if they're carrying a small monkey... That's a whole nother thing.
But it would be something to identify them because not many people are carrying a small monkey.
That's true.
Well, we got Justin Bieber and the late Michael Jackson. I think that's about it.
A fast food customer has called out its staff on social media after he spotted a bit of an offensive message on his receipt.
Now, I love these.
Now, you never check your receipts, so you're already a step behind this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was upset because of the message used to identify him on his ticket order.
Hang on, can I have a guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Were they having a go at either him being bald or being perhaps a tad overweight? Was it one of those two?
No, but that would have been a ruthless time.
Yeah.
He was wearing one of those patterned knitwear jumpers for Christmas.
Oh, like a traditional Christmas jumper. They kind of look horrible.
That's right.
Are they nice and cozy? Are they like the scratchy ones?
Yeah, you know, the ones where it's like, you must be a Weasley.
Remarkably similar to what you're wearing today, actually, now you mention it.
Big fan of this jumper.
Yeah, I know you wear it all the time.
He mentioned that it is not my pleasure to eat this particular burger today and posted a photo of his receipt, which read, the guest had his name at the top, but then also the identifying details on his receipt read, carry out ugly sweater.
I love, you've got a picture of the receipt there, which is obviously posted online. So he's got his name and all this sort of stuff.
Hmm.
And he's felt the need to underline ugly sweater just in case we missed it.
Yeah, just in case.
I think we got. I mean, I don't think you're angry about being identified as carry out, which I assume just means takeaway.
So next time you go to your takeout kind of place.
Yeah.
Everyone thought it was safe to wear Ugg boots and ugly sweaters in Jindabyne or wherever they may be, but it turns out it just might not be. You might get called out by someone you've never met in your life and is fixing you a chicken sandwich.
Look, not going to lie, probably still not going to look at my receipts.
Of course not. Typical Jordan.
Life's too short for receipts. Unless you're the tax man, in which case keep receipts.
Lunch money, Lewis. We got bills, we got to pay. Check your receipts. Check them well. Snow FM. Joey Badass, Temptation on Snow FM Breakfast. Simo and Jordan with you, 22 minutes past 7. And what are we talking, Jordan? Harry Potter.
Yeah, well, Simo, do you have a spare $1.9 million on you?
No. I mean, is that how much school fees are to Hogwarts these days?
Look, Hogwarts quite expensive. I mean, they've got to clean up all the mess from the owls somehow.
Well, if Snow FM Breakfast can raise how much money?
$1.9 million.
What can we get?
Well, you can get a piece of Harry Potter memorabilia. The house, in fact, that Harry Potter was born in has gone up for sale. To be honest, it's been up for sale for like a couple of months now, and they've been struggling to find a buyer, which kind of shocks me.
Number four, is it? Privet Drive?
No, that's the Dursleys' house. Okay. I thought that you would mention it before you bring it up.
Yeah.
No, for those Harry Potter nerds among us, that's the Dursleys' house where when Harry's parents sadly died, that is where he went to his adopted with step-parents or whatever they are.
Oh, yeah, it's where he grew up.
And that's where you grew up. Mm. This is not that house.
Oh, it's the ones where Voldemort, he who must not be named.
How dare you mention the V word on this show, Simo?
Damn.
I know, yes, it is the one where he who must not be named killed Lillian, whatever the dad's called. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So Godric's Hollow, it's called.
Yes.
So that house, which featured, it only really featured in the last, I think last two movies. Definitely the last one.
Yeah, and I think it had a bit of a mention throughout the series.
Oh, yeah, throughout the series it was mentioned and talked about, but it was only actually featured on film in the last couple of movies when Harry is a grown-up. How old were they when they finished? They were like in their 30s or something. Actors finished. When they kind of went back to visit Harry's birthplace. Has gone up for sale for $1.9 million. De Vere House, as it's called.
Yeah.
In a suburb called Lavenham in Suffolk in England.
Right.
And is $1.9 million can buy you.
So is the surrounding houses the same price, or has it been like bulked up on price? Like, has it been raised because of its Harry Potter connection?
The real estate agent in the description was very early to mention the Harry Potter connection.
Right.
Safe to say, I mean, there's a picture of it on the street and you can see the houses next to it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't want to be rude, but the houses next to it certainly aren't going for 1.9 mil.
Okay, right.
But, though, this one, it's a beautiful old, I feel like I'm on an advertising thing now, a beautiful old house with wooden beams, historic, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. He's gone hard on the Harry Potter connection, but it's not necessarily a real saleable point because you don't want to buy, you don't want to buy a house for in excess of a million, whatever it was.
1.9.
Wow, it's a lot.
Yes.
You don't want to purchase a house that's had the most powerful dark wizard do some pretty crazy stuff inside those four walls. I'm just saying, you don't necessarily want to pay that high price.
If you do pay that high price, make sure you maybe invest in a locksmith.
It's not going to stop a wizard, man.
I mean, it might.
Charlie Puth this morning, Mother on Snow FM. You're such a nice boy. Simo and Jordan, it's a plus one this morning. Starly, busy on tour at the moment. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Going spectacularly well. Now, you are due to play in Melbourne relatively soon.
Yes, opening for Carly Rae Jepsen. Super excited.
I know. Have you ever met Carly Rae before? Can you give us some insight into what she's like?
I've met her, but really briefly, but she's very sweet. She just grabbed me on the red carpet because we see each other at the Arias. I didn't get a chance to see her in Sydney when I opened for her at the Enmore. We bumped into each other and she was really sweet, gave me a big hug. And, yeah, I can't wait to get to know her a little bit on the next after the next show.
Have you had a bit of a chat about potentially doing Call On Me back-to-back with Call Me Maybe?
No, but I did think that was quite funny. I was thinking about it and I was like, oh, our songs are actually quite similar titles. But, no, I haven't thought about it. I don't, and I definitely don't want to bring that up with her.
Hey, Loves and Strangers is the big song at the moment. We absolutely love it here. Can you tell us a bit about the song? Where did it come from?
I wrote it basically about a past love and somebody that I really cared about, that we had a breakup, but it wasn't a malicious breakup. And it was just one of these things where I kind of realized we both have to respect each other's boundaries and kind of, you know, move on with our lives. And so it's kind of not the right thing to stay in touch and keep up with each other. And my mom, I live in LA, and my mom had invited my ex over for dinner, and he went because he was part of the family, I guess. And so he actually went over for dinner, and then my mum texted me and updated me on his whole life. And I didn't really want to know all those things. And so it brought back a lot of emotions, and I wrote Lovers and Strangers after that.
It's great to have a song, especially that reflects, because family can have such a vested interest in relationships.
Yep, and I can't hold that against my mum. You know, she wasn't doing anything wrong. She just was asking him over to dinner because he was like a son to her. So it was just my emotions that sort of went wild once she sent me the text about everything. But But yeah, a song came out of it, and a lot of people have reached out and said they relate to it, so I'm happy about that.
We'll be back chatting with Starly after her latest single, Lovers and Strangers, that plays now on Snow FM Breakfast. Strangers. Following her latest release, that one, Lovers and Strangers, Starly on Snow FM. Starly, you're super honest about how kind of life and family is attached to your music. Now, did I hear that it was kind of a bit touch and go with you getting to the level that you're at now in regards to you living out of home at one point and still trying to make it?
Yeah, before Call On Me, I was living in London and I was a songwriter. And I'd been there for a long time and I was struggling. And I then went through a period of depression. I didn't really have many connects there. I didn't know many people. And so I got into a really dark place and I felt really alone. And I moved back to Australia, back into my parents' house, because I was just going to quit music and become a personal trainer. And then I wrote Call On Me about never giving up. I wrote it in my bedroom. And I ended up getting an indie deal in Australia. And the rest is history. So, yeah.
So do you work out like PT sessions to your own music now?
No, definitely not. I try to just keep it simple. I to like the Spotify, the EDM playlists and things like that. Love that. Or yeah, just depends on my mood actually. But sometimes I just listen to a ton of Prince. Yeah, definitely not myself. But I know that people that work out listen to that record. I definitely know that.
Oh, that's cool.
I was going to ask, have you heard of anyone else in the gym listening to that record?
I know, like, from when I was in LA, people were sending me, a ton of people that were in Fitness First were sending me my video playing all the time. And then it was just funny, like when I traveled around the world performing, I'd be like in the UK and like the security guards, like at the, like a Manchester show at Manchester Pride, for instance, security guards, very, you know, straight white male guys type of thing, were standing there. And then all of a sudden when the chorus is, they just can't stop themselves from dancing. And it's, you just know, and they're like really buff. You just know that they've been listening to that in the gym. You just tell. So yeah, it's funny.
Looking back, I guess, to the Starly that was songwriting in London, is there anything you'd think about now that like you'd want to be able to tell yourself?
Yeah, like don't take failure too much to heart. You know, don't take it too seriously, because it's life, it's part of life, and it makes you grow. And just have fun, and don't set your expectations too high all the time. You know, just let life happen. You know, kind of put your best foot forward and work as hard as you can, and then just let it fall into place, because it will. I think that's what I would tell myself.
And now, as well as music, I was scrolling through your Twitter and found out that you have another great love in your life.
This is so good.
You like to get in the kitchen, is that right?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I love cooking.
What's your specialty? What's your go-to dish?
You know what's bad? I've just gone vegetarian the past 2 months, but my best dish in the past was like a roast lamb. I'd do like red wine and garlic and rosemary, olive oil, put it in the oven, put some onions in there, and like a really good roast lamb that just falls apart.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah, that was my best.
That's so many skills there, songwriting and cooking. Starly, thank you very much for giving us a bit of your time. Now, we'd like to stitch up the interview in a bit of a question for you in your cooking culinary skills.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, in the length of time that Lovers and Strangers goes for in regards to duration, on a scale of light, medium, or dark, how well toasted would a piece of white bread be?
Oh my god!
I'll give you a
hard question.
Can I just ask? Is it the first time you've ever been your music's ever been compared to toast?
Yes. Perfect piece of toast.
Where would it be?
Oh, it'll be dark. It'll be over toasted, like inedible.
Right when Lovers and Strangers finishes. Starly, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Snow FM Breakfast. Getting nervous this morning with Sean Mendes. It's Simo and Jordan right here with you.
And Simo, it's time for the segment which is sweeping the world by storm. A segment that millions tune in for every single week. Which is quite clever because we've never done it before, so they're geniuses. But Simo, it is time for this.
Can I bring my horse?
Bring my horse.
Can I bring my
horse?
Can I bring my
horse?
Bring my
horse.
Can I bring my
Yes, Simo, it is Can I Bring My Horse? I can see you're very much a fan of that opener.
Can I Bring My Horse?
So, yes, Simo, so it's a segment where essentially I call up various businesses all around the place asking, look, can I bring a horse along? It's obviously not a question that people on the other side of the phone are expecting to hear.
No.
And some of the reactions are quite interesting. So this week,
okay,
I decided to ring an airline and just book some airfares as well.
Right.
I knew that it was always going to be a bit of a tricky one to try and book a horse on an aeroplane.
Mm.
I'm just talking like commercial aeroplanes are just kind of in the cabin in economy strapped in. So I thought I'd quote a bit of a fake news article just to see if that would kind of help my cause.
Oh, right.
Safe to say it didn't.
Because sometimes on airlines, don't they have those, like, the emotional pets and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but, so Simo, so this is what happened. So I rang up an airline and just asked whether I could bring a horse along.
Let's have the intro one more time.
Can I bring my
horse?
Bring my
horse.
Can I bring my, can I bring my
horse?
Bring my
horse.
Can I bring my
Welcome to. How can I help you?
Oh, hello. I was just wondering if I could book some flights from Canberra to Sydney.
Okay, sure. No worries. I'll be more than happy to assist you with that. So it's Canberra to Sydney on when?
Just before we get to the dates, I had a bit of a request. I'm not sure if you guys would be able to do this. I was hoping to bring my horse along.
You're bringing what?
A horse.
Horse?
Yes. Do you guys sell tickets for horses?
Each horse as in horse animals?
Yeah, yeah. So I've got a miniature horse. It normally just comes in the car with me. I strap in the passenger seat. But I saw an article on the news today where another, not you guys, but another airline allowed a miniature horse on board just in the cabin. I assume the saddle was just in the overhead locker. So I was just wondering if you guys do that.
It's a live horse?
Yes.
Okay, so on our end, we only accept dog and cat.
Okay, it's only a miniature horse, so it's probably about the same size as a large dog. Would that affect it in any way?
We're just only accepting dog and cat on our end.
Okay, what if I call him like a large dog? Can we kind of just sort of pretend he's a large dog, if that's all right?
No, it's not. We're just only accepting true dogs and cats.
Okay, sweet. Okay, thank you for that. I'll have a think about that and get back to you.
Okay, no worries. Thank you for calling. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, listen to Snow FM from 6 to 9 weekdays.